Listening to Beats in Space here on WNYU 89.1 FM New York, here with your host Tim Sweeney. Tonight, we're very honored to have a real New York legend here in the studio. Nikki Ciano is here to play some music for us. Thank you, Nikki, for coming.
Hey. Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And so you are doing a regular Sunday night party now here.
A regular Sunday night at Santa's Playhouse. That's 100 Lafayette, one and a half blocks below Canal, Sunday night at 10 p.m. till 4 a.m. And if you haven't been down, man, you are missing something. We have the best little crowd going. I mean, Sunday night just exploded. You know, you turned me on by LaBelle on the LaBelle album.
Right.
Well, at the end of the night, I'm playing slow records, and everyone's dancing to the slow records. Like, I played Keep Your Head to the Sky by Earth, Wind, and Fire, and everyone's, like, just moving. Not slow dancing, like, holding, but just moving, you know, and all glittered up for pride and everything. There's, like, it's a tiny room, so, you know, like, 300 people is packed.
Yeah.
There's about 125 people left, and they're moving on the dance floor. And I put on You Turn Me On, and the whole dance floor went, and they're dancing, like slow dancing, and then like, I come like the pouring rain, you know that part? I turn it up, and all the hands go up. I mean, when you play a slow song and you have a dance floor going nuts,
yeah,
there's something freaky going on.
Wow. So I mean, does this, for you playing in New York, you know, is this a good night for you?
New York is my home. You know, I'm a native New Yorker. I'm not a transplant. I've been here all my life, 52 years. You know, I've seen it all. I was at the day after Stonewall. I was down the Village protesting. You know, I'm a native New Yorker. You know, I've seen it. I've participated in so many New York experiences. I feel like, you know, this is in my blood.
Well, for you, I mean, since you have the perspective that, you know, from being there from the very beginning, I mean, how does New York look to you now?
Sad. I mean, like, you know, we're down in the West Village right now. So the cab driver, like, I'll take 6th Avenue. I said, no, take Green Street. And then we'll turn onto LaGuardia Place. And in the 70s, cab drivers didn't know Green Street. They didn't know LaGuardia Place. They didn't know where any of these streets were downtown, because this area at 5 o'clock closed.
Really?
There was nothing. And I was talking to my partner, John, and we were coming up in the cab, coming up Green Street, and you see all these, like, windows, showcase windows on the stores, and there's all lights and everything's lit up. Not a light. Not a nothing. There was nothing. You walk down those streets, you were in darkness, and you are alone. So, and I lived on Mercer and Broadway. That was my first apartment when I was 16 years old, because I wanted to live around the corner from the loft. And the first loft was on 647 Broadway, which was Broadway and Bleecker. And I lived on Bleecker between Mercer and Houston. And 88 Bleecker, I'll never forget it. And we used to tell cab drivers, Bleecker and Mercer, where's that?
Really?
Mercer. That no one knew. I'm not talking about one or two cab drivers. I'm talking about everyone. So it's changed a lot. But, you know, back then it was very exciting and a little bit dangerous.
Right.
Now it's like Disney World. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's too safe almost.
Right.
Almost. I liked it when, you know, 42nd Street had some prostitutes on it, you know? When you can go to 42nd Street and get some weed or get some Tunnels, get some Valiums. I mean, not that I'm a big druggy person anymore, but but I liked that color, the color of the city, the many different colors of the city. Now it's just one color.
Yeah.
You know, white.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, it's no more fun, you know?
Yeah.
Even the club scene. I mean, the club scene is so sterilized now that it's like weird, you know? There's not a lot of places where you can have fun. You know, you walked into a party in the 70s, you smelled pot. You know, you maybe someone threw a tab of acid in your face, you know, and there was, but not only that, there was a feeling of camaraderie there.
Yeah.
That because when you went to a certain club, everyone came to the same club week after week, especially my club and David's club, because we were private membership.
Right.
So it was the same crowd every weekend. So you developed like a community,
right,
rather than just, oh, come to my party and no one knows each other. And that's what's happening at Santos. There's like, there's 75 people all who know each other at the core of the group. And it's just amazing. It's amazing what's happening. I am like so excited about this party. And I've tried to start several parties in New York. And this one is really gelling. And the people at Santos are really helping me make that happen. It's just really cool. If you haven't checked it out, come down. If you don't have the very, very small admittance fee, go write me an email at Inspira Records, INSPIRA Records, at AOL.com, and I will gladly put you on the guest list so you can check this out. And it's 10 to 4, but if you work Monday morning, come early, because a lot of people do. A lot of people work the next day, so they come at 10. There's a line usually.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's really incredible.
And do you see, I mean, are there people from the gallery that are still coming?
Amazingly, yes. There's several people. It's amazing. It's just amazing to see old friends, because so many people I've lost from AIDS. I mean, AIDS, you know, a lot of people didn't live through the 80s in New York. I did, and I worked in the AIDS community for most of the 80s. We were decimated by AIDS. I mean, people were dropping daily. I lost my two best friends 10 days from each other. I was mourning my friend Albert's death when my best friend Kenny died. It was insane, the 80s in New York. And so to see people who have survived that, it's really, really warms my heart. It really does. It's a great party.
that's great. And,
it's old music, but it's also a lot of new music. A lot of new music.
And so you have your own record label. I mean, you just mentioned this, Inspira Records. Are you putting out records right now, or what's
going
on?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Inspira Records was putting out records until about 18 months ago. We put out The Power of Love, which I produced, sung by Arlene Burton. And then we diverted everything towards the gallery movie, which is A Night at the Gallery. And that is, I mean, it should be done this year. The editor is in London, so it's hard for us to get together, but we just bought him a plane ticket, and he'll be here the whole month of August editing with me. So hopefully by the end of August, we should have a rough cut ready to go.
That's going to be incredible.
Yeah, it is, because it was actually shot at the gallery. And here I am at the Tisch School, which is where the people came from. They
really?
Were graduate students at the Tisch School.
Really?
They were taking a high-end, not a high-end course, they were just doing their master's at Tisch Film School, or they were graduating Tisch Film School, and that was their class project. 14 of them came to the gallery every Saturday night for the last 6 months and shot this movie. There's a story, there's interviews, and there's unbelievable dance scenes. You know, people like... directors try to recreate this kind of 70s dance feel, and they say, you know, they try to get it going for their film, but you can't explain to people how over the top the energy was back then.
Yeah.
And we have that on film, not on tape, on 16 millimeter film. It looks phenomenal. It's just phenomenal. And we're going to add, you know, surround sound, a fabulous, you know, audio track to it. And I think it's going to knock people's socks off. You're going to spend a night at the gallery for an hour and 20 minutes.
So the 6 months that they recorded, what year was that then?
That was 1977.
Wow.
Yeah. 1977.
No, I think the dancing, what you mentioned about the dancing is a huge thing that I see from, you know, playing in clubs now to like when I've gone to, say, the Loft Party and seeing the old
energy.
Energy and the way people dance there. It's like, it's just totally different, and it's so incredible to see, and it's getting completely lost.
Well, it's getting completely lost in New York, and we've sanitized it. But if you go to London, it's still happening over there.
Yeah.
And I played London. I think the second time I played London, I did a release party for the gallery CD that I had out. And it was just all classics all night long. And at one point, I put on Girl, You Need to Change Your Mind. And God almighty, I could have closed my eyes and I was there.
Really?
I mean, everyone was singing, blowing whistles, tambourines. And this sounds like Santos on a Sunday night, because everyone brings tambourines and
I heard
whistles.
About that. Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like off the hook. It's amazing. It's just really nice energy. It's so good to be at a place where people feel a little bit uninhibited. Like these days, people are so like inhibited, so concerned with how they look or how they move. And back then, people just let it all hang out. You know, we were dancing for the first time and we were enjoying it, you know?
Well, you mentioned London as having that energy. I mean, I know you've been traveling around DJing around the world. Are there any other places that you've seen that kind of energy of this old New York, you know? I mean, the original New York is what I think.
I've seen it in a couple of European cities. London is the most consistent. Every time I go, it's the same thing, off the hook kind of energy. The parties at Santos have been really off the hook. Australia for me is very close to that.
Really?
But London is definitely the top of the heap.
Okay.
It's the top of the heap. Oh, Italy is the other big one. And I don't know if it's because I'm Italian or what, but those people go crazy. It's almost scary because I was in the booth and they were coming up to the booth and the guy was screaming, "One CD, please, Nicky, give me one CD, give me one CD." And then they all started coming towards me, and the bouncer grabbed me and lifted me over his head, and they lifted me out of the club because it was so crowded around the booth. It was just going to be like Day of the Locust or something, you know? So anyway, so these 14 Tisch students come to the gallery because my cousin, who worked at the gallery, was in the Tisch school, and they film this fantastic film. And then the director dies in 1979. Looking back, the director died of AIDS. My cousin, who paid for the film, you know how expensive film was,
right,
and still is, put this thing in his attic for 30 years, and we just took it down, put it on beta, digitized it. You can go on my website, nickysiano.com, and you can see a little preview. It really looks like the 70s. I mean, there's nothing, you know, you're going to be there.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Well, I really can't wait, and I mean, it just sounds like there's so much good stuff going on for you right now, so.
It's phenomenal. You know, it's, and I'm a big meditator, and I stopped meditating about a year and a half ago. I stopped meditating for about a year, and I was so off center, so unhappy, and I felt like my career stagnated and I wasn't going anywhere. And about a year ago, I started meditating again, and my partner meditates with me now, and that for me has been the key to opening up doors, because when you're in line with the forces of the universe, things just happen to you. You don't even have to make them happen. You know, the doors just open. And always follow the path of least resistance. In other words, if something's not working, don't bang your head against the wall. Go in another direction if it opens up, because the universe, where it wants you to go, is going to be down a path that has no resistance to it. So I just laid back and allowed things to come to me. I don't go knocking on a lot of doors. I don't believe in that. I think that you have to put the energy out there. You have to be visible, but you don't have to be aggressive and cutthroat. And right. A lot of people are. I mean, the DJ business has become so cutthroat.
Right.
I just can't believe it. And, you know, when I was around and Larry used to come and say, "Nicky, can I play records for a little while?" I would go, "Sure, play records for a little while." And he'd say to me, "Nicky, how does this sound? How does that sound?" "Well, do this, do that." And I would tell him what. Now, today, if you ever ask someone to, they'd look at you like you were from another planet. I mean, you want to play on my turntables for a while? Go get yourself your own gig, you know? I mean, and this was, that's why back then it really was about the love of the music. When we started when David started his party in 69 and I started playing in 71, it was about the music. It certainly wasn't about the money, because I was making $15 a night, $15 to play a 6-hour set.
Oh, my God.
So it wasn't about the money. So it really was about the love of the music. And what ruined it was the big record companies and all the people coming in who wanted the money and the dollar bill, y'all. And people tell me, you worked at Studio 54. Yes, I was the original DJ at Studio 54, along with Richie Kazar. I was the Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday guy, because I had gallery on the weekends, and Richie was the Friday, Saturday night person. And I worked at the original Studio 54, and they, oh, what was it like? And what? Yes, it was spectacular. Yes, there were ideas that manifested there that you'll never see again because they're probably too expensive. And I could tell you about how all the ideas worked and everything, but that was the beginning of the end, because that club was all about money. That's all it was about. Yeah. As much as the glamour and all that stuff that was there was just about attracting people to pay. You know how much it was?
How much?
$20 to get in. And let me tell you something. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, never less than 1,200 people in that place.
Really?
And Friday and Saturday nights, about 3,000. So, like, the movie showed, like, this little tiny... I don't know how they got the idea for the movie to make it this little tiny club. It was huge. It was a theater, you know? I mean, you could still go to that theater and see how big it is.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It held a lot of people.
Hmm.
So, you know, when you... And the whole world is built like this right now. Everything is motivated by money. People do a lot of things because the end result is money, either getting money or having more money or so. And what I believe is, if you do what you love, the money will come.
Right, right.
So, do what you love. First and foremost, center yourself. Find out what you love, you know?
Yeah.
You know, when you center yourself, when you quiet your mind, things open up for you that you might not have noticed before. And, you know, people talk about spirituality, but let me tell you something. Every single religion talks about meditation in their writings. Every single one. And less than 2% of the people who participate in these religions actually meditate. It's a shame, because that is the key. Prayer is talking to God. Meditation is listening.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you want to play some music now?
I'll play some music. You know, I was going to play a new song, but now all of a sudden I'm motivated to play like what I consider one of my little theme songs. I have this on the, the first page of my site.
So,
I have this on the first page of my site, and it's become like my little theme song at the club. It's before LaBelle came out with Nightbirds, which was their big breakthrough album with Lady Marmalade and What Can I Do For You. They did their first LaBelle album, and it had this version of... The computer was asleep, so it's taking just a moment to open its little door. Give me a minute. You know, this is how you know it's live. The pauses.
Exactly.
Okay. So. I'm coming down to it. So before LaBelle did Lady Marmalade and all that, they did this version of Moonshadow, which was a big song for Cat Stevens. And I don't have my glasses on, but I'm going to find it. I'm going to pray. Maybe I should meditate right now.
What happened to your glasses?
My glasses are right there, but okay, here we are. Okay, so this is... Moonshadow by LaBelle. Natural speed.
Little technical difficulties there.
Okay, here we go.
Job. No. Or if you ever be in deep stew.
Well, it's too hot. hot to sleep, I'm too cold to eat, I don't care if I die or not. Went tonight in Harlem, oh, old radiator won't get hot. Well, the mean old landlord, he don't care if I freeze to death or not. Saturday night in Harlem, everything's all right. You can really swing and shake your pretty thing. The party's out of sight. Sunday morning here in Harlem, now everybody's all dressed up. Now the hip folks getting home from the party, and the good folks just got up. Delegation wants a donation. Send the preacher to the Holy Land. Hey, hey, Lord, honey, don't give your money to that lying, cheating man. Saturday night in Harlem. Hey, hey.
Oh, thing can't walk. Why try to run? Your poor thing can't talk. Much more have fun.
Maybe you had wild dreams, but your dreams aren't real. But don't give up, you're feeling up. Feel up here and not down there. Feeling up,
feel down there.
shooting in the house. Now I'm trying to get into this groove, y'all. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's gonna. Now I want you to move your hips, y'all. Yeah, right here. And I want you to shake your butt, yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Come on. And I want you to yo, people, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hands, people. Yeah, all right. I want to see everybody's hands. All right. Here we go. Now, DJ, DJ. DJ. Can you break it down for a second? Get off that. All right. Bring it back, y'all. Bring it back. Bring it back. Yeah.